Hey, you ever been in a time where you felt like, you know, I ain't living right, but I don't want to pray. I don't want to talk to God because I know I ain't living right. Guess what? Psalm 103:13 says, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The question is not, are you living wrong? The question is, do you fear him?
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we continue a message called The Benefits of the Book. And Pastor, before we kind of dive into the person who's struggling to get into the presence of God, I want to maybe begin with a definition. What does it mean to fear God? Because it sounds like that's a pretty important thing in today's message.
Oh, it really is. It's reverence, awe, and fear mixed. In other words, you stand in awe of who God is. And so therefore, there is a phobia. That's the Greek word, phobia. It literally means there's a certain fear. You know, here's what I love. One of my grandchildren, her name is Naomi, and she's a trip. She's a real trip.
Yeah.
But I love her. Well, now she's in college. She's
okay.
18. She just went to college. But when she was younger, I mean, she's a real trip. Like, for example, she got a new Sunday school teacher, and the Sunday school teacher said, "Who are you?" And she said, "You don't know who I am?" And Sunday school teacher said, "Well, no, my name is Naomi Neche Ford. You know, Ford, like Pastor James Ford Jr. That's my grandfather. We own this place."
She's trying to put that teacher on notice, huh?
Yeah. And so, you know, I had never spanked her. And so she had done something that was rebellious.
Yeah.
We don't whoop our children for accidents, but rebellion we do. And I said to her, I said, "Nay, nay." And she said, "Papa." And I said, "I have to get your legs, baby." "You have to get my legs?" "Yes, I have to get your legs because what you did is rebellion and you have to be disciplined for it." "No, Papa, don't hit me." And so I tapped her little legs with a switch about 3 times. You would have thought I killed her. She was screaming, and I said, what's wrong?" Her papa whooped her. "Oh, that's right. He ain't never done that before." And so here's the answer to your question. You know, she understood the fear.
Yeah.
And then she said this. She said, "Papa." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You mad at me?" I said, "No, baby. I wasn't mad at you when I disciplined you. You were wrong, and you needed to learn not to do it." And she said, "Okay, Papa." She said, "You still love me?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Then hold me." And I picked her up, and I lost it. I start crying. She's crying, and I'm thinking, wow. And then whenever I read this verse, that's what I think about. There are times when I'm wrong, Steve, and I know I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I know God and who he is. I know there should be a reverence there, but there's also that fear. But I know underneath are the everlasting arms, and I say to God, you know, "Forgive me, 1 John 1:9, would you hold me?" And he always does.
Such a great picture, and I hope that helps us understand, all of us understand, exactly what we're talking about here. Well, if you can, join us in the book of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 17 today as we continue a message called The Benefits of the Book. Here's Pastor Ford.
Here's what he does. Okay, you want it. I don't want you to have it. It's not good for you. I gave you what I wanted you to have for this time, at this time. I gave you who and what I want you to have. If I don't have you with somebody, there's a reason I don't have you for somebody. I'm preparing you for who I'm prepared for you, or I'm preparing them for you, or both. So just wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Yeah. Biological clock is ticking. He can rewind it. Ask Sarah. God can rewind it. 90, way past menopause, baby, way past. And so what happens? I'm going to tell you like I told my boys. When my boys went into the far country, they hooked up their wagons, and man, it was a sorry sight to see them go. And I'm trying everything, and I'm beating them over the head with the Bible, and God said, "Look, you didn't raise them the best you could. You didn't share with them some of the mistakes that you made with them. They're grown now. They got to deal with me. They're saved. They still belong to me. You can't do nothing." I took my hands off. You know what I told them, Elder Green? Both of them, individually. I said, let me tell you something. Whatever takes you away from God, that's what he's going to use to drive you back to him. Amen. He right up there in the corner, videoing and got me on Facebook Live right now. Amen. Because that's how God works. And so he gives them instructions for when they no longer want Yahweh as king. So get this. Now let's look at verse 18 and 19. I'm still in my introduction. I'm getting ready to get to it. He says to them, now get this. When this king sits on the throne, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. Now you got to understand the culture. Everybody didn't have a Bible. Everybody didn't have a smartphone with an app. Back then, there's only five books to the Bible. What are they called? Pentateuch or the Torah or the... Never mind. I ain't gonna mess around. I got to move on. I got time to be messing with y'all. And so that was the only... Who had it? The priests and the... So if you wanted to read the Bible, you had to come to church to read the Bible. Now, here's what he said. In a day when nobody owned a Bible but the priests, I want this king to get a copy from the priests. But don't take the priest's copy. Get himself a book that matches the pages of this book. And then I want him to start at Genesis 1:1 and write everything from that book into his book. And make that book his book. Now, what's the design? So that even though you could only hear the word on the Sabbath, the king had the word every day. He could never say, maybe he didn't read the book because God had him write it. He had him write it. So there's no excuse. If you say, well, you know, I really wasn't sure, you know. No, no. You wrote it. And you have your own copy. And I told you to read it every day. Now notice, now, I'm not preaching this part, but let me give you the outline if I was. Here's what he's saying in verse 18 and 19. He's saying, listen, I want you to read my word preceptually. That is, I want you to copy it word for word, preceptually, according to the precepts. Then personally, I want you to do it personally. Then he says, I want you to do it persistently. Where it says, therein all the days of thy life, it's in a construction in the Hebrew that just not only means the length of days, but it means every day for the length of your days. Then perpetually, your whole life till you leave this existence. Listen, here's what I want you to do with the word of God. I want you to do it preceptually, personally, perpetually, and persistently. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, here's the word read. The word read is about four or five in the Hebrew. Here's one. Here, let me tell you what Strong says. To call out, to recite, to cry out, to utter a loud sound. What is God saying? Here's what I want you to do. When it comes to the word of God, I want you to read it out loud every day. Wow. Somebody said, if every Christian would blow off the dust of their Bible at the same time, it'd be the greatest sandstorm in the history of mankind. So here's the theme. Five benefits of the daily reading of God's word. Here it is. I want you to notice with me because I'm not going to get to all of them. And notice they're all verbs. That he may, that, hati clause, result. Here's the result of reading the word every day. Learn, keep, heart be not lifted up, turn not aside from the commandments, prolong his days. That's the five benefits of the daily reading of the word of God. And my goal is when I finish this message that we will have more people committed to just reading God's word every day. Amen. Because he's saying to him, listen, I want you to listen to my word eagerly. I want you to look to my word enthusiastically. I want you to learn from my word expectantly. I want you to languish in my word entirely. I want you to let it work in you efficiently. And I want you to love my word eternally. So here it is, five benefits of the daily reading of the word of God. I only have time for the first one. Notice the first benefit. It's the most important. And that's why I'm spending all my time on this one. It says that. Here's the result of reading the word every day, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Stop. The first thing that's a benefit from the word of God is learning to fear him. See, there are people who learn the Bible to learn the Bible, and they don't realize that the Bible is not an end, it's just a means to an end. See, it's not for information, it's for transformation. That God knows that as we get into the word of God cleanses us. Jesus said this way, now you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so as we get into the word of God acts as a detergent, and sin can't hide from intensified Bible. Now, here's what it says. Learn. I got to tell you this word. Hate to come back with a whole lot of Hebrew words, but since we're in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew. This word, learn, is a word that's taken from an ox goad. Now, those who come to Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about this several times. What is an ox goad? It's a long stick with a point. Now, an ox, you know, the Bible likens Christians to oxes. Why? Because we have servant hearts. You can't help it. If Jesus is in you, he's a servant. You have to have a servant heart. And so the characteristic of an ox is that an ox will work. Here's what the farmer would do. When the ox wouldn't work, he'd have a 6-foot-long pole back in the plow. He'd take that pole and he'd jab him in the buttocks and he'd start working. That's the word. Ox goad. Let me just give you the word picture. He says, in essence, he says, that he may ox goad to fear the Lord his God. That the word of God acts like an ox goad. When I'm opposed to my nature, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not living the way I'm supposed to live. One of the first things I ought to do is the last thing I usually do is get in the word. Because the word will instigate me, will motivate me to do what's right. And that's why many of us don't come to church when we're living wrong. That's why many of us stop praying, stop reading the Bible, because we don't want to be convicted about our sin.
How many of us can relate to that? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. And that's one of the great things about listening to a program like this. God can use what you're hearing on the radio. He can use this program and the truth of God's word that you're hearing on this program to draw you back into a relationship with him. If that's happening, would you let us know? Give us your feedback when you come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Let's get back to the message, the benefits of the book. Again, here is Pastor Ford.
Oh, okay, I'm going to tell on myself, Sister Deb. It's so good to see you. I'm going to tell on myself. Let me tell you what happened. I pride myself on my integrity and, my honesty. One time I found a wallet with $3,000 in it. And it was when I was cutting grass. I was a sanitation engineer, landscaping engineer, and found this wallet. I opened it up and it belonged to a brother of a lighter hue. I could tell he was Fortune 500 or something, but it had $3,000 in it. Say, how do you know? I counted it. I saw all that money. And I said, man, I got to do what the Christian thing is. And so I called him up. He said, yeah. Oh, man, you found my wallet. I need all my ID. He said, where are you? And I told him where I was at the park. I worked at Homewood Park. He drove on over in his BMW. He got out, and he was, I'm looking for a guy who found my wallet. I said, that's me. He looked. Oh, okay, you have my wallet? I gave him his wallet. He saw the money. He's like, oh, I must give you a reward. And he's going to give me $1,000. I said, oh, no, I can't take a reward from you. He said, oh, I just don't understand. This is so unusual. I said, I'm a believer. And see, I was a new believer in Jesus. That's why. If I'd have been an older believer, I don't know. It would have been. But I was a new believer. you know, as a new believer. And so, you know, and I told him, I witnessed to him. The only reason I gave this back, if you'd have caught me 4 months ago, I'd have saw that wallet. You never would have got any of it back, the money or the ID, because I could have sold the IDs. And he listened to me give him a presentation. I don't know if he ever got saved, but he listened to the gospel. I tell you that. And then I thought about it, man. I said, you know, I was a new Christian because I should have took that $1,000. But anyway, so then I went to the bank one time and a sister gave me $500 too much. I'm going out the door. I was a little older as a believer then, counting and saying, that's $500 too much. What you trying to say, Lord? Is this a blessing or something? Or I turned back around. I say, sis, you gave me $500 too much. She said, oh, thank you. Because I've done this twice, and they said one more time, I lose my job. This is all I have to take care of my, sir, thank you. And I'm walking out, I'm feeling good. You know, it's like, yeah, that's it. You know, so I go to River Oaks, stop at the gas station, and I only have $5. That's all I would ever carry. So I go in and say, give me $5 worth of gas, because I know I wasn't going to make it, because it's already on E. So I'm pumping. You know, and I'm not paying attention. And I'm thinking, got to be more than $5. You know, because gas was $4 or something a gallon. And I looked and said, 20, 30, 40, 50. Now I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I told him $5. This ain't my fault. So I'm pumping and I'm pumping. It came to 64 something, and I just topped it off to 65. It wasn't my fault. I'm not doing anything wrong. I told the man $5. That's all I had. So I go home. I'm getting ready to have devotion with my boys after they had breakfast. So I said to them, let's look at the scripture today, guys. And they're all sitting there looking at me, watching me, the preacher, you know. Their daddy is a preacher, you know. And the scripture that day was providing all things honest in the sight of God. What happened? Ox goad. How are you going to tell them about something that you just did deceptively because only you and me know? How are you going to teach them about providing all things honest in the sight of God and you don't? And I told them the story. And of course, it had to be my youngest boy. He said, well, what you going to do, Dad? Said, I'm going to drop you guys off, and I'm going back, and I'm giving the guy this $60. And I dropped him off, went on back to River Oaks. I went in. I said, hey, man, I asked you for $5 worth of gas this morning. I got 65. He said, oh, I don't know how that happened. He said, would you give me the money? He said, you must be a Christian. I said, I am. He said, I am too. Well, praise the Lord. I said, man. You see, he says, the fear of God. Vance Havner, the great late revivalist, said this, we have lost our awe and have become awful. We've lost our awe of God. Listen, let me show you this. This is a Bible study. I can't get you to Bible study, so I'm going to bring Bible study to you. Follow along with me in your app or in your Bible, whatever you have. I want you to see these. Listen to what it says, because Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is it? Come on, say it. Proverbs 1:7a, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and reproof. But now I'm going to show you that the key to everything you want is the fear of the Lord. Okay. Now, word from our sponsor. Look at Proverbs 22:4. Proverbs 22:4. I want you to see it as I read it. Because remember now, when he's telling him, write it so you can see it, and then I want you to call it out, read it out aloud. So he's writing it, he's seeing it, and he's hearing it. Proverbs 22:4. Here's what it says. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You want riches? Fear the Lord. You want honor? Fear the Lord. You want life? Fear the Lord. Is that the book, or is that the book? Or did I just make this up? Maybe I wrote that in my Bible. Is that in your Bible? Look at Psalm 34:9. Psalm 34:9. Come on, I'm taking you on an excursion. I want to show you why he started with the fear of the Lord. Listen to what he says in Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, For there is no want to them that fear him. There is no want. There is no lack to those who fear the Lord. Psalm 115, 13. Come on. I know you're tired of one. Some of you done touched this Bible more in these three verses than you did all week. Come on. Psalm 115, 13. Listen to what it says. It says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Who wants to be blessed? Fear the Lord. Notice what it says. Proverbs 10:27. Come on. I'm going to help you catch up for next week too. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Okay, what about protection? Psalm 33:18-19. Going back. Psalm 33:18-19. Listen to what it says. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I have some more, but here's what they say. In Psalm 103:13, it says, hey, you ever been in a time where you felt like, you know, I ain't living right, but I don't want to pray. I don't want to talk to God because I know I ain't living right. Guess what? Psalm 103:13 says, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The question is not, are you living wrong? The question is, do you fear him? Because all of us at one point or another are going to have some wrong living. Somebody better say amen. Yeah, but guess what? Like a father, he pities his children when we fear him. And on it goes. You want protection? Psalm 33:18-19. The fear of the Lord brings his protection. You want his pleasure? Psalm 147:11. You want promotion? Psalm 61:5. You want purity? Proverbs 16:5. Learn to fear God.
That's a great way to wrap up today's broadcast, Learn to Fear God. I hope that as you've been listening to this teaching, it's really helped you have that reverence, that respect, that fear of the Lord. But maybe as you've been listening to Pastor Ford's teaching, you're recognizing the fact that you don't have this kind of relationship with the Lord that Pastor Ford is talking about. You don't know Jesus. You know about him, but you don't actually know him. Well, you can change that today. You can call this phone number, and there are people there ready to talk to you about what it means to have your sins forgiven and to begin a relationship with Jesus. The phone number to call if you have questions about becoming a Christian is 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, today's message is called The Benefits of the Book, and it's really a look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we're going to continue this teaching on our next broadcast. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss that program, a few different things you can do. First, you can come to the website right now and sign up to begin podcasting the program. That's a great way to be able to listen whenever it fits your schedule. You can also do that by listening online. Come to treasuretruthradio.org. You can stream programs, you can download MP3s for free, or you can order copies of this broadcast on CD. Again, you can do that when you come to treasuretruthradio.org. Hey, just really quickly, if you're benefiting from Pastor Ford's teaching, we'd love to hear about it. Let us know specifically how God has used something Pastor Ford has shared from God's Word to encourage you, to grow you, to challenge you, to draw you closer to Christ. Give us your feedback when you come to treasuretruthradio.org and then go to the contact link. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.